We're going to do a little bit shorter homily because I need to share something with you. And it's something that's really hard for me to do, and I don't know if I have the effort to do so. This being a third time. But there's great difficulties in the church that we're going through right now. You know, this satanic abuse which has gone on in Pennsylvania, and this evil cover-up that has gone on among our bishops and all there, it just makes me, I'm furious about this. And I have been for so long, because that's why we didn't talk about it last week. Because I was just so angry. And I think if any of us are alive and if we have feeling within us, we have to be angry over this. Because anger is one of those emotions that is roused up when something that we love dearly is assaulted and attacked and is in danger. That's those young people who've been assaulted, the victims. And that is Holy Mother, the church, who's been attacked as well. And how all this, even though it happened 40 or 50 years ago, or maybe even up to 30 years ago, all being covered up, and maybe we dealt with it in our archdiocese in the 90s under Archbishop Michael Sheehan, who came here to rectify that situation and to bring healing. But it's still going on all over the church. And the way in which this has happened is absolutely in every way satanic. Because no human being would be able to do the things which those priests did if they did not first give themselves to Satan. It's impossible. It's impossible for what has happened unless Satan was actively involved. The reason why he wasn't able to call back the family and spend more time with the Rivera family after the passing of Max is because all this came out last Wednesday, right? On the day when we were supposed to be spending our time giving glory to God for the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the fairest honor of our race. And in the midst of that, this comes smacking down upon us. And so when this hit, when I learned of this news, I couldn't move. For 3 hours, I just collapsed on my couch and I couldn't move. So many emotions that I even now don't even know how to describe. But I knew I couldn't move. And so I don't know what the rest of you are feeling out there, what difficulties you're going through, what hardships are going on within the whole of our community. I don't know if there have been abuse that has gone on here, in our parish, in our community, out in our missions anywhere. I have no idea. It's absolutely wrong and untenable in any way. And if it hasn't been talked about, we need to bring all this stuff up because we need healing. I don't know what it's like on either side of that equation. I don't know what thought processes happen in that regard. And I'm sorry that I don't know how to better heal in that way. But if there's anybody who needs to talk at any time, I can sit there, stand there, and let you yell at me. Let you express the hardships that you're going through, whatever it is, because as a father, fathers have to stand and take that. And all I know what to do is to turn you back to the Father. Because God, just as we spoke there in that closing prayer, He is the one who brings mercy and healing. No matter what us men fail to do. But we can't let this pass by without drudging up all that evil there so that it may be eradicated in the midst of the love of the Father, because that's the only way it's possible. I don't know what to do. I don't know. And it tears me up inside that I don't have the words to be able to speak to bring healing the way that I wish that we could. I can't change the church. I can't do anything. But I know what we can do is we can gather together and continue to pray and to continue to make sure that these things don't happen. And those who have been wounded in this way are able to receive the healing that they need. A friend of mine, a faithful laywoman, sent me a message. She herself had been attacked. And what she said, Father, even though all that has happened to me, I'm not going to leave the church because I've seen Judas. But I'm going to stay because I've seen Christ. And He's here. We have to stay for Christ. My friend Monsignor Ron, he was my pastor when I was first ordained a priest, the first place where I was assigned as a priest at St. Thomas. And he said, "Look, Christopher, I'm finding consolation in that passage of Scripture where Jesus spoke to Peter and he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. He didn't say that hellish things won't happen within the church, but that hell won't prevail." And as I've been praying this week, as I pray often with this passage, is a passage that Jesus is there in the midst of the boat. Remember when that storms were coming out when they were on the Sea of Galilee and Jesus is just sleeping in the boat. And all the disciples are saying, "Lord, do you not care that we are dying? Get up, do something." He gets up and he calms all the storm. I think right now we're in the midst of the boat. And the storm is raging all around the boat that is the church, which is the only way to salvation in Christ. And I don't know how long the storm is going to go. I don't know what raging is going on outside, and I don't know when it's going to end. But I do know one thing, that the more and more you and I cling to Christ, even when He's there asleep, if our Lord can sleep in the midst of this storm, then we can be confident that it's not going to wreck us. Because He won't allow that. Our Lord is here in the midst of the boat waiting for us. And I don't know what to do but pray. So brothers and sisters, we need to pray for each other and we need to do something. Because only in Christ is this boat of the church going to make it to the end. Pray for me. And somehow we're supposed to go off there and have a fiesta afterwards, right? I think the only way we can go forward in joy is if we recognize the truths of our faith, which is that we're held securely in the love of God. And if we ourselves are held securely in the love of God, then we can rejoice. Then we can live our lives out of joy. And even if these priests aren't living out Ephesians chapter 5, Christ is. So brethren, let us stand. Right after the final blessing, I'm going to offer each of you an opportunity just like we did on the feast day of St. Rose. We're going to have those two relics, first-class relics of St. Rose of Lima, and Deacon and Fabian are going to hold them for you to come up and to venerate and to ask our Lord, through the intercession of St. Rose, our patroness, for a special grace for you, for a family member, for somebody who's wounded. Each and every time I do this, and each and every time since we've heard of these allegations, when I hold up that chalice, I'm putting the victims into that chalice. I'm putting these evil, evil men into that chalice. And I'm asking God that He would fix His church, because I don't know how to. Maybe you can join me in that same petition. The Lord be with you.
With your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.